Awesome. Here we are.
Here we are again.
Episode 2.
I love it. Yeah. Dude, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
The reflection in my glasses is wild. It must be the
light. That's cool. Yeah. Very blue.
Well, Mark, it's great seeing you again. Week 2.
Yes. So let's kick it off. Tell me about your setup there. Your microphone, your camera, your lighting.
So, yeah, I have this like really cool Shure mic. I have a ridiculous light box set up and a couple of other Godox lights, and they're SL62s, two deltas. And then I have like all these crazy cameras that I acquired because at one point, or I still want to do this, I just haven't been able to prioritize it. With Adjective, I've wanted to get into like real-time in-person user interviews and like capturing that information and expressions and kind of like baking that into the UX research process.
Wow.
And I love it. And I had an opportunity this past, it's called Soft Week. It's like a big event in Tampa, to potentially use my little mobile kit with, it's like two Canon C70s and an R5C. It's pretty dope with some nice, like speakers and audio equipment and lights, but I didn't get a chance. The person I wanted to interview was kind of touch and go, not bad with us, but like they're just in a position where they couldn't stay too long. So, it would have been so cool to just kit out, like see if I could just kit out a hotel room and like record a hardcore docuseries or wannabe docuseries interview.
Nice. And which mic? You said it's a Shure mic that you got there?
This one's a Shure mic. Yeah. And then I have a bunch of like remote mics that people can use their phones and integrate with their apps and stuff.
Cool. I'm going to hit you up for specific models. I gotta up my game here. Cool. Well, the question we start with is, Rob,
yeah,
what's hot on your plate right now? I know you went to a space conference actually up here near me.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
Yeah, dude. So what's hot on my plate, the space conference. So drove up to Cary, which was really fun, and went to this awesome event called, it was hosted by SAS, but it was for the COGSPO. First off, like SAS's campus is gorgeous. One thing that I really love about Raleigh is like, they didn't lose the agricultural charm while still being like an urban kind of, the Research Triangle is very kind of like foliage heavy, and there's like a lot of trees. It's beautiful. It feels like this like really like rich like outdoors enclave, and then like you have all this like crazy technology sprinkled throughout it. So it's like the coolest dynamic that I've never experienced because I haven't spent a ton of time there. But yeah, so I went to this event. It was a really interesting slice of the space domain that I don't focus on too much. It wasn't just the spaceport and the launch range that I'm focused on, but it was like, you know, operational stuff, and like they had a bunch of vendors that had both like, you know, licensable, like proprietary products, and then other kind of government off the shelf products. And just to see where people are going with stuff, like they have like real working software, and it's all starting to look like industry now. It's like lean React apps with like little cool widgets here and there. And like, it's amazing. Like the industry just looks completely different 5 years into like real digital transformation.
And so what's that going to enable in terms of, this is government space launches, whatnot, satellite monitoring, what?
Dude, military? Yeah, it enables a bunch of stuff. I mean, a lot of those things are sensitive outside of space launch, but like it just enables all types of really interesting things. And one of the quirks that I realized while I was at that event was like how commercially relevant the DoD's activities are when it comes to space. And like, you know, I don't know a ton about satellite stuff, but it seems like a lot of the stuff they're doing as it relates to satellites are all also called, you know, are commercially relevant. So it's like one of the few agencies where, you know, they're not just building things to strictly provide some type of like munition or missile related outcome, or, you know, some firearm related outcome. It's like they actually manage and build things that are critical infrastructure that like regular commercial activities depend on. And it's so cool because like they could really position themselves and start to reincept themselves as like a pseudo private industry. You know, they joke around. I think you mentioned my post earlier when we were chatting, and it's like one of the stakeholders there that I met that was a major was like, oh yeah, we have a ton of demand for our platform. Like, when was the last time you'd ever hear like a military person talking about like driving demand and like, you know, having competition that they're trying to edge out, that's also trying to manage like a CI platform? And it's like, just exciting. It's like that mentality alone is like, let's go. Just, I think it's more inspiring.
Yeah. So what's an example of something that you said that they're focusing on? And again, maybe within the DoD, area, but that would be applicable outside into commercial space.
Yeah, I think like I'm trying to think of like what I can talk about and what I can't, but like a lot of like the geospatial stuff, a bunch of any like yeah, there's just thinking about the topics real time is really hard. But I mean there's so many of them. Like think about any of the navigation dependencies that commercial industries have. That might be really interesting. You know, that's probably something that the DoD considers. I think there's just so many like and it's also the future. It's like the types of things that they're trying to enable or help provide real estate for, or like whatever space logistics, like all of the stuff they're trying to enable in the future to get into space is just powerful as well. Like, you know, even something as simple as like, you know, freaking SpaceX like leasing property on the Cape, or like, you know, leasing warehouses from one of the agencies and like they're storing stuff, like all those little experiences the government has like extreme influence over and sometimes even owns the land and the buildings for and helps like facilitate those relationships. And those things are capabilities that like both the military will need at some point and our allies will need. And then also commercially, it's like amazing things that we could take advantage of.
Right. So like kind of like the original GPS, would you say it's like
Yeah.
that where started,
100%.
in the DoD, but then over time, those are things that everybody needs,
Hard
and
dependency, yeah.
that's how these get bootstrapped, to start with. Okay.
That's the perfect example for sure.
Cool. And what was your goal when you went to that? What did you want to come out of it with?
Oh, dude, this is like kind of exciting. I'm gonna try to like not be too long-winded about it, but we might have talked about it last time, I'm not sure. Anyway, I went over there. We've been so part of our space launch project, I'm working with an amazing company called Metronome, and we're building out this product called Pulse Flow AI. And Pulse Flow AI is like super practical, and it's spun out of like a real deal product we're building. And it was like a problem we determined in the trenches while trying to, you know, build a solution for someone. So we were like, wow, managing algorithms is such a bear when it comes to CI/CD and like deploying to dynamic environments with like variables that have to be super opinionated for like defense environments and then dependencies that are always changing, you know, data services and then like the data that's actually being used to calculate certain outputs. And so these algorithms, like they're having to deal with like a ton of dynamic things around them. So in order to manage them effectively and be able to like assess the quality of their outputs and do testing for them as well, just kind of commanded a harness or some type of SDK for them. So that's what we ended up building. And we want to get that SDK out to the world just because it's super practical. So we went there to A, kind of just expose that via like demos and slick sheets and stuff. And then I also got like a ton of feedback from like straight up, you know, DevOps builders and platform engineers and stuff on like, you know, where it would be valuable, like what it's kind of missing. And honestly, it wasn't missing a ton of stuff. It was just an area of like automation that people like maybe overlook now because they're all rushing to generative AI, but it's like so practical when it comes to like industrial computation. Like there's just such a dependency on like traditional equations.
Did
Yeah.
anything surprise you?
I think I was surprised by how people recognize the value prop. Like I was like, this is going to be tough to walk through because like it's so practical and real, but usually you have to when you're trying to sell something that's just like Tylenol versus like, you know, some really cool multivitamin, it's like you have to you know, like it really has to align with a pain point. And you know, people have to be ready to just be like, I want something real that I can use today to solve a problem. And they also have to have context that's kind of around the SDK, like how challenging is CI/CD for government environments, how challenging is like managing accreditation, like all those like supplemental things. And so I was surprised by all of those additional data points that people had where they could arrive at the value prop without a ton of magician work and over explaining and stuff.
Right. So it
It was
sounds
cool.
like it's evolving, like
Dude,
that's
for
a lot
sure.
different than you've been
Yeah.
seeing.
Super like lean, scrappy product though. Yeah, dude. I think it was a really good trip. Wish you were able to come through. I know you're super busy.
Next time, next time. So but it's interesting, like, do you think the evolution is in like the government in general or the DOD or private sector or just people in general? Like who is actually shifting?
I think it's, I think like, back in like even before my military time, I'd say, or before like my time where I got involved in defense, which is like pretty much my whole adulthood. I feel like people really separated and isolated the DOD from commercial industry very intentionally. And obviously you see like venture capital getting really excited about the DOD. And you see other people that were kind of part of that isolated community start to recognize and work with the DOD. I think it's like, especially in like our hyper connected fused world, like it's kind of strategically dumb to like separate those, like because everything kind of feeds into each other a little bit. Like when you think about the DOD, it's just like a massive snapshot of like society and industry. There's like human resources components to it. Yeah, sure. There's like weird like defense related missile things that are like not part of regular culture or like regular industry. But like, other than that, there's like logistics, there's quartermasters, there's people that manage real estate. There's like the GSA that like work with the DOD to kind of like purchase land. Like there's a lot of components. The DOD is just like a massive snapshot of like everything we deal with in society. And uniquely, they're like completely in control of that snapshot. Like, so from a governance perspective, they actually have a lot of leeway and control. Whereas like other things in society, rightfully so, right? Like policy has to go through and you can't just like manage and control everything. It's a democracy. We have to vote on stuff. The DOD actually has an easy way to influence things when they decide they want to. So like, I think that's what's kind of cool about it. It's like, as soon as you help seed something that's like valuable or beneficial for like the public, the DOD can just stack their chips on it, rally, convince a lot of people horizontally, and all of a sudden you have like six generals saying the same thing and it becomes a reality, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah, definitely. So you, I think related to that, you also posted something about South by Southwest and the DoD. What's up with that?
Yeah, dude, that So the I guess the story is like South by ended up pulling some sponsorships from the Army itself and then a handful of our favorite OG defense contractors like Raytheon and stuff. I don't know if it's actually Raytheon, but that company's name was thrown around. I have no idea. I'm not sure. But just something, and that's challenging, as a former soldier who has like empathy with the mission and stuff, like, it's unfortunate to see that like. And also as like an artist, as like a straight up dude who went to art school, who's like a product designer, like I totally appreciate South by, I appreciate artists, I appreciate the culture, I appreciate the community. And it's like, how do you like kind of fuse them a little bit better? How do you make people kind of recognize each other's roles and at least not have animosity towards each other or like feel the need to protest, which like I'm so happy that people can protest. I love that. But it's like, I think in my opinion, if I put on my like, I want to make the military, I want to get the military as much support as possible hat. It's like, regardless of whether you agree with the opinions of, the people that were protesting the military being sponsored or whatever, it's like, if your goal is to like get them to at least be neutral, so they don't impact your influence to get people pipelined into your DOD, into your army, and make recruiting easier, make retention better, people stay in, just get people celebrated about like really hard missions that need to be solved, right? Like no one wants to realistically, other than like the creepy, like I don't know, like what do they call them, armchair warriors, like, as like a dude who's deployed and like kind of went to combat and stuff, like I'm not like a hardcore combat guy. I was like an intel support entity, but it's still like I don't glorify a lot of those situations. I think they're really hard, they're sad, they're scary, they're weird. I love capabilities that like prevent them from spiraling out of control, and we protect good people as much as we can. And so there's always an opportunity to message differently. But that's what I think was kind of lost about that situation. I'll wrap this up and kind of, it's a hard topic, it's a weird topic. I think what was lost with that situation was like instead of that weird protest thing, or not like really normal protest thing happening, but it not working out for the army and the defense industry. I think that it would be a really cool opportunity to completely pull that apart, dissect it, and be like, how can we do it better next time? Like, how can we get what we wanted next time, or we get a sponsorship in there? Not only do we get a sponsorship, but like everyone in the audience is like, Oh, that means something to me. That's awesome. I'm not opposed to it, right? You're always going to have people that are opposed to it, right? But like, how do you just convert those numbers to more being neutral or totally bought in and on your side? So it helps recruiting, helps your mission, helps inspiration, which is going to be huge. I'm not going to go into like the D draft word, but you know, it is something that exists in society. Like they just released policy on like, you know, certain people needing to register for the draft from 18 to, you know, 26, I think. And it's like, it's just a reality. Like, do you want it? Like, let's say worst case scenario, we have to draft people. Do you want people to like be pipelined in that are like partially interested or like trying to look for ways to get out of that? Or would you rather it be like World War II where people are like, why can't I get drafted? Like, I'm gonna, you know, fib through my stuff and try to get in, like even if I have a medical condition, because I care so much about like the ultimate outcome. Like, obviously you want the latter. You want people that are just like personally like, you know, ready to put their life on hold for a cause that they can back and believe in. So that's just how I view it. But dude, I'm so interested in your perspective as like an industry guru, someone who's worked at some of the most exciting companies in the country. Like, how do you feel about that whole South by Southwest kind of exchange and what happened?
I mean, obviously, you know more about it than me, but I think as a general theme, you know, to your point, a lot of people are very black and white on things of like this thing is because it has this name on it, it means something, and that things are either all good or all bad. And I think like with anything, there's good and bad in everything, and which things are labeled good and which things are labeled bad are going to be different for every person. And so I think and every person at that point in time. I mean, if you think the number of things in your life that at one point you saw a label on something and you're like, that's bad, or that aspect of that's bad, that today, if you think back, you're like, oh, actually that label's good, or that bit of that label's good. And that other part was actually bad. I mean, we're learning all the time. And I think that's the biggest thing of if you think the same way now as you did 10 years ago, that's actually pretty sad that
That's
you've learned nothing in 10 years, you know, like, or you know, whatever. I know that I can't remember who did the quote, but I think you and I have talked about this before. The,
yeah.
you know, when I learn new facts, my opinions change. What, you know, don't yours? Like, of
Yeah.
course you change your mind, not just on a whim, but when new data comes to light, why would you not? And so,
Totally.
and that goes for just general perspectives, you know. Yeah,
Perspective
again,
is so interesting, like, isn't it? Because it's so dynamic and, you know, evolutionary. Like, it's just, it can change, like you were saying, it can change, adapt, like, completely consider things that are 180 degrees from where they were X amount of years ago. Like, it's crazy. And I think that's like something that any organization kind of is responsible for, trying to manage and like just, you know, trying to influence the best that they can, and obviously in ethical ways. But yeah, and we're seeing it, right? Like, we're seeing it with the DoD. They reported, at least the Army, I think it's Space Force and Air Force isn't hit as bad, but or I should say Space Force and Navy isn't hit as bad. I think the Army, Marines, and Air Force are like somewhere between like 15 and 30% recruiting deficit, which is not always awesome. But I mean, if their goal is to recruit more people, I mean, the one way you do that is like incentivize them to want to spend time and join. And then it's like, not only do you incentivize them to want to join, but it's like, how much do you have to pay for them to join? Because like, if you all of a sudden have to, you know, pay them 100K bonuses, you know, for, you know, a 2-year contract or something, let's say that's the most extreme version, plus you eliminate the need for them to like pass some type of like gate criteria for being good in your job or PT, that's a big one that always comes up. Like, can they pass a fitness test? Like, as you kind of have to like pull back quality and pay more for people. And then still, if you're not getting folks, it's, I mean, it's an even worse multiplier. And it just starts to compound, like not having the right influence or being able to manage a perspective appropriately.
yeah, when I think, and it goes back to your point, like if the DoD does a better job at like spinning things off, you know, or opening up with they're like, well, we need this thing to do X, and people might not agree with that X that they're, you know, that they're doing, but if
Yeah.
then that spins off into things that again work for a commercial sector that people do want,
Yeah.
Same with just space program in general. Again, I keep hearing things that like aren't actually true, that they say, oh, this was developed, for, the Apollo missions or space shuttle, like Velcro or duct tape or whatever. And then you or they used to, and then you're like, oh no, actually it's not true. But so what? Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Is that a real thing? Is that like, does that happen?
Oh yeah, like there's definitely many things. Like I think Velcro probably, I'll have to go look this up. Is true of like that came from developing during the space from the space program.
Yeah.
The duct tape, I think maybe wasn't, but there's a number of things like, and also, the what's the story of like, oh, the US spent how much money on the pen that'll work in space and the Russians just use a pencil. That one is not true. I'm almost positive I've
Oh, interesting.
read about that. But it's, those stories, again, they're still useful things in stories.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you want those, because there's some as much as you think is true that isn't, there's just as much that you don't know about that actually is true, that effectively things would substitute just as well for
Yeah.
the same stories generally. But yeah, like I think if people felt, again, the work that I do, at the DoD or any company, I mean, heck, you could say the same thing about any large company. Some people are like, any large company is bad, just by definition. But it's like, if you're doing work there that is showing tangible benefits outside of the company, like, and then you compare that to people also forget, well, what's the status quo? What are they doing now? Like, you have to compare. It's easy to hate on something without thinking, well, what am I doing now? Where are my efforts going to now? And often it's, well, it's to nothing.
Yeah.
All that time that you could be doing things that benefit lots of people, that if you can, either just because you haven't really thought through it and the thing you're spending your time on isn't really helping anybody, or if you get too wrapped around, like, well, I don't 100% agree with all the uses of this thing I am doing and not what it could become,
Yeah.
people miss out. So
And it's
yeah.
also, no, I totally agree. And it's also if you are really passionate about something and you disagree with a certain organization's approach, like maybe there's an opportunity to join and change it to whatever
Right.
you think it should be,
Yeah.
And if that means like interpreting policy different or, being more transparent about certain things, whatever it ends up being, like you just made me think of that when you were talking about companies and stuff, 'cause like companies are, there's some of these companies are absolutely massive and, one division or one cell can be like completely culturally different than another division or cell and just go about their business differently. And like that affects like the product lines that division kind of oversees. Like it's really, like you were saying, it's never like a one size fits all broad brush stroke approach. It's like, there's details that are associated with everything. And then on top of that, it's also like what actually makes you happy, I think. Like at the end of the day, like being bought into a vision and feeling like, your work is purposeful is just a psychological thing because like as humans, it's like, we have 24 hours a day. And you're every single day that you kind of like check off is closer to, you have you're the count of days goes down. So it's like you want to be taking that time and converting it into something that like you feel like is worth your time and impacting something bigger than your immediate surroundings. Maybe, or it's not. It's like you just want to like indulge in something and spend your
Yeah.
time doing something else, painting,
Yeah. I'd
whatever.
say, but yeah, by far, mostly in the middle. Like, I'm sure there are some companies and some endeavors, some agencies, whatnot, that you could argue, okay, that's just not a good thing for humanity. And then there's people on the flip side who, like, everything they do is super in service of other people, and it's just making the world a better place in all aspects. But like,
Yeah.
in the middle, it's all over the place. There's no, and you think about it's like saying, oh, I visit, they say some country's bad, and you think of all the people that went on, let's say, vacation or visited some country and come back,
Yeah.
and they're gonna tell you completely different things about their thoughts on that country because they all had totally different experiences because it's a big place with lots of people. And
It's a great
so to judge
comparison.
anything in the monolith, like I like in private sector or just even in a I'm in one aspect of what I do is in sales, and just when you're exposed to it a lot, and you hear people talking about this customer X, this customer wants this, this customer thinks this, and it's like, this is a global company with hundreds of thousands of people. There's no the company. There's Bob who we're talking to, and Bob works for Rita, and they're in this division over here. So, let's not think, when a lot of times when you
Mischaracterize.
look at the value of a deal, for example, and often the default is like, it's, well, that's a, again, that's a giant global company. So the deal we make with them, if it's not enormous, we've made a mistake. And like, oh, that's a small startup. It's not worth their time. Whereas based on the value to a particular, because the value, if it's to a group, at a big company might be a smaller group than even the startup. Like, to judge things again monolithically like that, it's where can you provide value to people? And that is not necessary, like, to think you should always be getting more money from bigger companies, I think is the wrong way to think about it, because it's,
And I think like the way you described it, like strategically, whoever is trying to make decisions based on like two individuals out of a 10,000 person company, like they're just going to be like ill-informed. It's going to be inaccurate data. And so it's like, maybe there's an opportunity to personify those people or create like ideal customer profiles that they can be associated with and then start to like interact with others and make it like a strategic goal to like find more Ritas or do whatever you have to do. But I think like exactly like just shooting from the hip off of like a couple of feedback points or data points, and over characterizing like the need of a customer when like they have such a density of people, unless it's like something very kind of like obvious or utility based that's tied to their mission domain where it's like, oh,
Right.
like people are probably gonna have a similar opinion because it's just so straightforward and trivial, But yeah, I totally agree with you. Like if people kind of just like they try to use cheat codes to make decisions and usually, unless they're lucky, those it doesn't work out too well.
Yeah. Companies, agencies, they're all made of people.
It's true, yeah.
And they're all different. And I think that's our lesson to close on for today is, we're all just a bunch of people here. Nothing is
Yes.
nothing. There's not faceless companies and faceless agencies that all do one thing. Like, just a bunch of people trying to do our best.
Yes,
So,
100%. Mark, this is
work
awesome.
together on
Thanks again,
things.
dude. This is so much fun as usual.
All right. Well, great. We'll bring this one to a close. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you later.